Lecture 16, The Unification of Germany.
In our discussions of the Revolution of 1848, we have emphasized the complicated role or relationship between liberalism and nationalism. Indeed, for the first half of the 19th century, liberalism was, as we've emphasized over and over again, nationalism was seen as an integral part of a liberal agenda. 1848 would begin a process of transformation in this regard. One begins to see the migration of nationalism across the political spectrum as conservatives begin to recognize the great potential that nationalism offered them as a means of mobilizing public support, as a means of weakening liberalism by borrowing selectively from a liberal agenda. We've seen this in part with Louis Napoleon in his regime after the revolutions of 1848, adopting a liberal economic policy and certain other constitutional aspects of liberalism. In the lectures that we will now have, the next two, on the unification of Germany and Italy, we will see the way in which national sentiments could also be used for conservative purposes in Central Europe. We'll begin that discussion by looking at the case of Germany in Central Europe. At the conclusion of the revolutions of 1848 into 1849, Frederick William IV, as you'll recall, had rejected what he called the crown from the gutter, offered to him by the delegates of the Frankfurt Parliament, the liberal Frankfurt Parliament. Frederick William IV refused this crown from the gutter, arguing that if the crowned princes of Germany offered him the crown, then he would be compelled to consider it, to accept, but not from this illegitimate group of parliamentarians. In 1849-50, however, Frederick William IV, especially as in 49, early 49, when Austria was still very much consumed, the Habsburgs consumed with maintaining order in the empire, which had virtually disintegrated, while they were busy trying to hold the Habsburg Empire together, Frederick William IV was convinced that the time might be ripe to place himself at the head of a movement for national unification from the princes, not from below. He put forward what was called a Prussian Union plan to do this, and in 1850, when the Habsburgs had finally brought their empire back under control, the Habsburgs drew upon Russian support and forced Frederick William to back out of this Prussian Union plan. This was called the humiliation of Olmütz, for the place where an agreement was signed between Austria, Prussia, and Russia, in which the Habsburgs had successfully convinced the Russians that this effort at a Prussian Union plan to unify Germany, although it was led by Frederick William, led by a conservative king, was in fact simply a hangover from the revolutionary days of 1848. Austria then emerged from the revolutions of 1848 and from this humiliation of Olmütz in 1850 as the leading German power. The German Confederation, which had been established at the Congress of Vienna, this loose confederation of German states, was restored in 1849 as if nothing had ever happened under permanent Austrian presidency. Austria was shaken by the revolution of 1848, but miraculously had managed to reassert itself. It remained, of course, mistrustful of all nationalist enterprises, especially in Germany. So Prussia began the decade of the 1850s in a very precarious position. On the one hand, humiliated by the Austrians in this after the Prussian Union plan, as if the Hohenzollerns had attempted too much. And Frederick William IV was compelled to recognize the leadership of Austria within the German Confederation. However, the Hohenzollerns had economic weapons at their disposal, which they would use very, very skillfully through the decade of the 1850s. The 1850s would be a decade of enormous economic expansion in Germany. The real takeoff phase of industrialization would occur in Germany in the 1850s, an enormously prosperous era, an era in which, despite the restoration after the revolutions of 1849, virtually all of the German states had adopted a liberal economic policy, Prussia foremost among them, and German industrialization displayed rates of growth that were absolutely phenomenal in this decade.